Yeah, and I love that, Scott, because so many people don't know you. And if I walked into your office and I don't know you from Adam and you put a piece of paper in front of me, it would frighten me to death. But when you said to me, you know, because we don't know one another yet, but because I can, exactly what you said, give you advice and counsel and show you sold comparables, then the greatest thing is to give me written permission to represent you. And that written permission can be for one day. It can be for 2 days, or it could be for 3 months. And there are some people that go like, well, I'll just go ahead and sign it for, you know, 2 months. And there are some that'll sign it for a date. So that's a great choice.
I have one guy. He is a friend of mine. And I've done a lot of stuff for him. I've got one. He goes, can I sign one for like 10 years? I said, no. I don't know if we may not be friends, but I told him, I said, we'll do one. I did one. I told him, it just came out. And I said, let's just sign one for a couple of months. And he said, what happens after a couple of months? I go, well, I guess you're scot-free.
You're scot-free. How cute is that? That is a good one.
I even got Jeremy on that one.
Scot-free. So, I love that one. That is a really great one.
But it's a great change, and it was. It didn't sound like a big deal when you look at it. But when it first came out, a lot of old-timers, and we were in the old-timer do, said, I don't like this. The buyer's not going to want to pay. Well, in San Angelo, Texas, and Pat, you've been all over the states, all over the country, very seldom do I actually see the buyer pay. I see the transaction pay. And they say, well, what do you mean the transaction? And here's my argument on that. And you correct me. If the buyer doesn't pay X amount of money for the house, and the seller doesn't agree to pay or sell the house for X amount of money, which I call that the transaction,
right?
It doesn't happen. You know, if the seller, buyer says, I'm only going to pay X amount, well, there's no transaction to happen. So I say the transaction. But from when it all comes together and they all agree, at closing, the escrow agent pays the realtor, pays the title company, pays the payoff, pays everything happens.
Right.
That's where it comes from.
Right, from the transaction itself.
I very seldom see a buyer here's write the check outside of closing or before closing or that to pay a realtor separate.
And it does happen sometimes.
I know that. But I'm going to say 1-2% of the time.
Absolutely.
So when you say that, in fact, I have a lot of times I'll put, you know, per our MLS or, you know, and specify – I won't show you a property outside, or I won't show you properties outside these counties, you know, or this is what I'm limited to, I can do, or what I can do or can't do.
Right.
But this is what we are, you know. Unless somebody said, I'm going to pay you X amount of dollars, and I want you to show me anything, everywhere, or whatever. So you get to, that needs to be in writing and agreed to on up front.
Absolutely. And it's just talked about. And that is the greatest fear, I think, for first-time home buyers, having worked that segment of the market and helping agents do that, is that the fear of, you know, what is it going to cost me to get into my home, thinking they have to pay us out of their pocket instead of out of the transaction. So that's something for all of our consumers to talk to their realtor about, and they can explain that to them. And I love the idea of representation. You know, I think, Scott, too, one of the most important other things is, what is the expectation of a seller or a buyer when they choose a realtor? Sometimes we fail to ask that question. So don't you think that's important to just ask right away, you know, what are your expectations of me
as
your realtor?
Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back with expectations.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Real Estate and You. Okay, Pat.
Okay, so expectations. Scott, I think one of the greatest complaints that I received as a manager of many years in the real estate industry was from consumers going, I haven't heard from your agent. That was, you know, and that's an expectation. It's like we need to set the table from the beginning to say, you know, how do you like to be communicated with? Is do your preference? Is it email? Is it snail mail? Is it text? And the realtor needs to adapt to the consumer's needs. So communication, I would say, is the number one most important in any real estate transaction.
See, and I learned that the hard way. I didn't ask that question.
Yeah.
And I think even more now than before, the different generations, how do you want to?
Yes.
And I even learned this lesson, especially with husband and wives both working. You assume, and that, you know, that assume word gets you in trouble.
Right.
Because I talked or sent a letter to or visited with one spouse that both spouses knew. I learned this, especially when you have two professionals, like the medical community, different ones. I got to where I would spend GCM, this is before the internet and a lot of stuff like that, one to the office and one to the house.
Right.
It's amazing how that worked better, too.
Yeah. And that's a great point, because if there are two spouses now, so many people, man or woman, travel. And so they all want to be communicated to. And I think then the other question is how often? Mm-hmm. Because I can remember as a realtor, a man said to me one day, "Now, Pat, you know, I'm gonna let you market my property, but I want to talk to you every day." And I looked at him and I said, "If you're talking to me every day, I'm not out there working for you trying to find that buyer and market your property. So let's kind of talk about why." And he was just one of those personalities. So when I told him I did a written report once a week of everything that had been done, he was like, "Oh, wow, I could live with that." So again, it's about expectations, communication. What is it you expect of me? What do I expect of you? And how we can work together.
And a lot of that is communication, too. And so what you just asked, which just ding, 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 what do you expect of me? Because if you don't know, you...
Absolutely.
And I don't know how. But and this just changing and going from old school is with some of the relocation companies. I got so frustrated. I said, "Yeah, I can't get these people to call me back." And she said, and she does, as you know, I'm not the detail person. I'm the go talk, 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 go show me, quick, bottom line person. She said, "Well, email them. But quit calling, just email them." Boom. Guess what happened in about 3 minutes? Response.
Got a response.
It is just they were young.
And they're
different.
Young.
You need to know how to communicate.
Yeah. I think the greatest thing, being the older generation myself and the silent generation, is just so much fun for me to deal with all of the generations, having been an educator, and see how everybody does communicate, and to let everybody in the classroom understand that all of our consumers are all different generations and different personalities. And so we kind of have to gel with all those. So I just have a funny story. Can I just share that funny story? My husband is older than I am and a heart patient. And we're sitting in the waiting room, and, you know, we live up in the hill country, and it's real quiet in the waiting room, and I have my iPad. And so I am, you know, the silent generation, older, and I'm working, doing emails, and there's a young girl, I guess she's probably about maybe 13, 14, somewhere along there, sitting down from my husband. And so my husband is asleep in the chair, which is what he does a lot when we're at the doctor's office. I'm working on my iPad, and she looked over at me, and she said, "So may I ask you, ma'am, is that yours?" And I said, "Him or the iPad?" And she went like, "No, the iPad." And I went, "Yes, it is." And so I'm working on there doing emails, and in a minute she looked over at me, and she said, "Excuse me, but... could I ask you another question?" And I said, "Certainly." And she said, "Do you know how to use it?" And now I'm getting a little furious, because she's looking at me, judging me by my age. And I looked at her and I went, "I'm not playing Candy Crush. I'm not playing solitaire. I'm doing actual work. And she looked at me a little astonished. Now I'm a little huffy because she's picking on me. And so I sat there and worked a minute, and I looked at her and I said, "Excuse me, young lady, but could I ask you a question?" And she said, "Well, certainly. What is it?" And I said, "I'm kind of taking a poll of my class, and because you're younger than my class, I'd like to have your opinion. What is your favorite app?" And she looked at me with great big eyes, and she, in this quiet hospital doctor's office, she kind of hollered and went like, "You know about apps too?" And then the conversation ended. So I think that is a great example. I tell that in the classroom all the time. We don't judge a book by its cover. Just because I am the silent generation, you wouldn't naturally assume that I can't email or I can't text, because right. I do. Or just because you're the young generation, I don't assume that you don't like paper. I had that conversation with one of our agents this morning, and he's a millennial. And he said, "Pat, I love to print out stuff and highlight." And I went, "Seriously, that is so exciting, because that's what I do." And we're like years apart. So I think, again, back to expectations, it's like, what are they?